broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Quite a bit of sorting, because what they left behind were all the younger...
Really, just two-thirds of the senators voting for repeal.
We've taken procedures since this happened.
I want Nancy Reagan to die, but before she dies, I want the woman to suffer.
Just from a basket!
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. and like that and everything, and I forget. 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the only news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And we go through the looking glass to take you places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And this is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We invite you to go to our website, philhendryshow.com. And it is there that you'll find the live streaming video of the show tonight, every night, so that you can watch us perform the show as well as listen to it. And you can hear the archives there, thousands of hours. We have podcasts. We have free podcasts. And by Christmas time, we've got 20 free Classic Phil podcasts coming up for you. 20 of them. Count them. And I want to thank George Rodriguez and Boca Bryan. Great time talking to my old brothers from Miami, as we talked about Neil Rogers today on George's show there on SouthFloridaRadio.com. And they're great guys. And listening to your show, George, listening on hold, reminded me of listening to Neil before he came on. I mean, you guys were rolling some of those very funny Boca Bryan bits. So thanks for having me on. 877-876-PHIL, our affiliate spotlight tonight. Guess what? WAXY, Waxy, 790 AM, our great affiliate there in Miami, Waxy, 790 AM, and in Redding, California, KCNR, 1460 AM, on our website, philhendryshow.com. Don Berman is going to join us this evening. We're going to talk about this is a very interesting story, and it just seemed like yesterday we were, talking about Toys for Tots and people's donations to Toys for Tots. And what the significance might be of people's donations to Toys for Tots. You know, are they doing it because they're being generous? Are they doing it because they're being, they feel guilty? Well, in the midst of all of that, we have a story out of Massachusetts where several Toys for Tots bins have been ripped off. And Don Berman is joining us from the Channel 19 news van right now. Don, how are you tonight?
We're always busy, Phil. Thank you for having us on the program.
Can you tell me about this story? It is in
Burlington, Massachusetts. The Toys for Tots, as you know, Phil, these are collection centers operated in part by the United States Marine Corps. And they are for our needy children. Well, over the last few days, these Toys for Tots, several collection centers for Toys for Tots, have been hit by individual or individuals that have taken somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,500 toys.
Wow. And what do we know the value?
Police tell us that the value of these toys, which are intended for children 8 years of age and older, valued roughly at $15 to $30 for the toys. Now, Arthur Enos is the Toys for Tots coordinator, and he explained in an interview with NECN Television, the Toys for Tots storage pod was ransacked.
We saw the toys strewn around the parking lot, and when we got closer, we saw the pod door was halfway open, and we could find see the toys that were missing. The pod was about half to three quarters empty. We will go out, we'll get toys somehow. Marines are pretty useful. We'll adapt and overcome to the situation. We'll get the toys out there.
Now, Eno says the thief was very selective with what she took.
Yeah, they did quite a bit of sorting, because what they left behind were all the younger, I'd say from the infants up through the 5-year-olds. So they obviously were looking for the older children, which are the ones we were desperately in need of that we had collected, and probably also the more expensive ones.
So what we have, Phil, is a story that I think is going to evolve, and I think it's going to evolve before our very eyes at the Channel 19 newsroom. And I understand this is primarily a story based in the Boston area, based back east in New England, but we've already nicknamed them the Robin Hood of Christmas. And it's going to be an interesting story to see how this evolves. And I think the Marines, when he says they adapt, they overcome, I think they're going to see that they're capable of quite a bit.
Well, when you call him the person that is stealing, the he, she...
Yes, we don't know. We don't have... have any identification whatsoever as to gender, age, nothing on the individual.
All right, but why are you calling them the Robin Hoods of Christmas?
Well, because it is obvious that the individual in taking these toys has sent a message. And the message is clear, I think. The message is that people are going to donate to replace these toys. You're not going to let 1,500 toys simply get stolen or misappropriated or taken without replacing them, not at Christmas time, and certainly you're not going to let children have a Christmas where they don't have toys under the tree. The individual that did this knew this, and the individual knows that this is going to bring an outpouring of the generosity that the people of Boston, and I think perhaps the people of the United States, are not aware that they have. That's why we're going to be looking at this story very, very carefully.
Well, when you say there's going to be an outpouring of people are going to be looking to replace the toys, I understand that they have already.
Well, they're very close to replacing the toys. And it's very interesting, Phil, to see how generous people can be when, for all intents and purposes, and let's face it, this Robin Hood, this Christmas Robin Hood, really shamed people in the Boston area into coming up with more. The people who donated those toys, who donated whatever to whatever extent, obviously they could afford more. And this person that took these toys proved it. And I think that this is something that could repeat itself. I'm not saying I want necessarily to see toys stolen. I am hopeful that people are going to donate to their capacity without theft. But I think it's a great American story in a lot of ways that you have a person who comes along like a Robin Hood, if you want, or a Jesse James or a Billy the Kid, whoever these romantic figures are from the past, who ostensibly look as if they are stealing. But what are they really doing? They're showing the system and they're showing people themselves how corrupt we can be. Even at Christmas time, when children are in need and we still hold back, we don't give everything we can. And so that's the story, that's the angle that has developed, and I'm surprised.
You're pretty certain that this is the angle. In other words, this isn't just somebody who's going along and stealing toys.
This is someone who is stealing toys, but knows those toys are going to be replaced. You don't steal toys to give to children if you don't care about children. These are toys that were stolen in order for the people of Boston to be confronted with something. And what are they being confronted with? They're being confronted with the fact that they, when push came to shove, when they were asked to give the Toys R Tots, they didn't give as much as they could. Is that dishonesty? I don't know. Is that saying to someone, well, I gave as much as I could, is that a lie? Or did they find out later, you know, I can give more? I don't know. But it's a very, very interesting confrontation with one's own conscience and with one's own charity. And dare I say, and may I say, one's own Christianity, if you wish to put a religious spin on it.
We're talking to Don Berman from Channel 19 News in Los Angeles. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. 1,500 toys were stolen from Toys R Tots bins in the Burlington, Massachusetts area. This is a greater Boston. 1,500 toys that were valued at $15 to $30 a piece. Now, this is a hell of a thing to do at Christmas time. But, Don, you feel in the investigation that you've done, and how many people are working on this story?
Well, you know, we're a Los Angeles television station, and for us to work on a story having to do with New England, it's a little generous. We mostly want to concentrate on the news in our area, and for us to spare people to go ahead and cover a story in Boston, yes, we're going above and beyond the call of duty. We're giving the people of Boston some coverage, but you know, when I get home at night, I'm thinking, boy, they better be worth it. You people better make this worth it for us. Well, they have. And not only have they made it worth it, but I think it's the story of the year that a man would go and steal toys from Toys R Tots to show the people of those areas. is, you know what, you can give more. You can replace these toys. And if you can replace these toys, why didn't you give this much in the first place? That's the scandal.
And why is that a scandal? Why is that a scandal?
When they are replacing the toys?
Yeah, I mean, they donated the toys, and then the toys got stolen, and now they're going to donate some more. You call that a scandal.
If they can donate some more, why didn't they just donate all of it at once? You see?
Well, then what if all of those toys got stolen?
All those toys wouldn't have gotten stolen, because the individual that stole these toys was doing it so they would be replaced. But if these people had come through and donated enough toys in the first place, there wouldn't have been any theft.
How do you know that? How do you know that the person wouldn't have come along? I mean, I don't understand that.
Because this individual was stealing these toys.
Yeah, but I don't understand how you know that.
Let me tell you how I know it, Phil. I've been a reporter for 25 years. There, that's how I know it. My name is Don Berman, and I'm not saying that I have anything special, but I've been a reporter. There's one thing I know in this world, and that's reporting.
So based upon your experience, the individual that stole these toys from Toys R Tots did it knowing they'd be replaced, and did it, in fact, because he knew they'd be replaced. He wanted people to donate more.
Yes, he knew, or she knew, somehow. This is what my sources are telling me, that the people of this area were not even close to kicking in as much as they could when it came to toys, and that something had to be done, and this individual did it.
877-876-PHIL is our number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Don Berman from Channel 19 News. The incident comes near the end of a challenging year for Toys R Tots, Toys for Tots, which saw a significant drop in donations.
Exactly.
And a sizable increase in requests for gifts.
That's exactly right.
And well, when you say that's exactly right, what does that mean?
That means that knowing that these donations are down, something drastic had to be done. And this individual, whoever it was...
How do you know, as long as you want to go and start speculating, how do you know it wasn't an employee of Toys for Tots?
No, they wouldn't do that, no. I've checked out Toys for Tots. I've checked the people out, and no. I've crossed that off the list. No way. No, this is someone who has decided to help Toys for Tots from afar, from a distance. Someone in the community. Someone who must be familiar with the... if you want, the very stingy or selfish ways of the people of that community, and I'm not trying to indict anyone, but it seems that that's the message. It's someone who wants these individuals who are selfish and skinflint and withholding exposed. And the only way to do is to steal these toys and force them to make up the toys that are missing. And therefore, what you've got here, Phil, is a story showing that they could have afforded more. I don't know where the story is going, but it does begin to look ugly.
Why?
Well, I'm going to have to investigate. If people are donating toys to replace these, why didn't they do it in the first place? And that's going to be a story. I don't want to do that story. I don't want to have to look into that. I don't want to have to hold an entire community up and say, if you're now replacing these toys, the ones that got stolen, why didn't you just give in the first place? Were you lying? Is that how we're going to play this game? Because, Phil, I used to be a crime reporter.
Well, if you were a crime reporter, it would seem to me that the first person to look at is the person that stole these toys.
Well, no, that's what a rookie would do. A veteran is going to say, excuse me, you're giving more toys? Yes, I am. Couldn't you have done that in the first place and then we wouldn't be standing here? What are you doing? Well, this was all I could donate. Well, no, apparently it isn't, because now you're kicking in more because the other ones got stolen. There's a lot going on here, a lot, and I'll get to the bottom of it.
Don Berman from Channel 19 News talking with us, and the other layer that he just laid on us there is that these toys, having been stolen, necessitated the people in the community to donate more toys to make up for them. Well, if they were donating more toys to make up for them, why didn't they give those toys in the first place? And Don thinks that there is some level of dishonesty to that. Our number is, who is the bigger, I don't think there's any question, the thief is the person who took the toys. But Don Berman feels that there's also dishonesty on the part of the people who have donated toys to make up for the theft because they could have done it originally. So are they dishonest? I don't see that. Our number, anyway, is 1-800-520... Wait a minute. What's our number, man? I was on KFI the other night. Oh, yeah. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Welcome back here. Don Berman on the freeway here tonight. You're in the news van, Don, going. And I know you're a very busy guy. As we talk to you here about this Toys for Tots story back east, when and we're going to get onto some phone calls here, 877-876-PHIL. This idea that Toys for Tots is ripped off, that, and every year it seems that Toys for Tots is ripped off, okay? And every year it seems like somebody's going over there and stealing from them. So why should we think that this year it has to do with some well-meaning guy, you know?
Well, because it was very organized, Phil. I'll tell you why. It was 1,500 toys. They were valued anywhere from $15 to $30. They were for children 8 years of age and older. They were very specific. And very specific, meaning this is a prime demographic of a child for Christmas in terms of the cost of a toy as well as the age of a toy, the age of the child. You can talk about children being under the age of 5 or under the age of 7. The toys that you would purchase for a child that age would not run as high as a toy you might get for a child over 8. So the very specifics of this, the ages, the numbers of toys, as well as the price, led our news crew and our crime-fighting team to discern that this individual recognized we, as people at Christmas time, tend to be a little dishonest. And we give a toy, and then we go home. And people will say, did you give a toy? And we'll say, yes, we did. And it was all we could do. You know, this is a phrase that we hear an awful lot at Christmas. I gave what I could. You know, it's a very bad economy. I gave what I could. Well, we find out now that that is a lie, and that the individuals who give the Toys for Tots, and I include myself in that as well as yourself, Bill, were liars. If we could give more, then we should. This man or woman, by stealing, made us show our hand that we could afford more. You understand what I'm saying? You know, I don't like explaining things that this is not that difficult.
No, I understand. I know what you're saying, but you're using a lot of very explosive terms. We're liars.
Well, we're not liars in the conscious sense, but if we could afford to give more toys, why do we wait for someone to come along and steal them in the middle of the night while, you know, right out from underneath our noses, and then we say, well, I think I've got more money to give more toys. Well, I don't blame the Marines and the Toys for Tots for saying, well, then why didn't you say so in the first place? You see what I'm saying?
I do. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let me get to a phone call here, and we'll continue to investigate this idea that the theft of these toys represents a theft, but people kicked in to give more, which means they could afford more. Here is Amos in Pennsylvania listening on WEEO. Amos, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out, did this guy go to college? Because it's real simple. This guy took toys from kids.
Can we turn up the caller, please? Can we turn the caller up, please? I mean, way up, at least in my headphones. Go ahead. No, it's not your problem. It's not your problem. It's just my control room. They just had to jack up your level. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, the whole thing is, this guy is not a Robin Hood, and he's not any kind of a hero, and he didn't help the community at all. I mean, what about the parents maybe asking? You said it was older kids' toys, 8 to 13 or whatever.
That is correct.
Maybe
that's correct.
Maybe these parents actually talked to their kids and said, look, Toys for Tots got stolen. Can we give your toys that we got you for Christmas? Because we already gave. You know,
How likely do you think that is? I don't think parents are going to make their children go without.
Well, you know what I'm saying? Christian people are very giving people, and they're very understanding of situations like that.
Not to the extent that they're not. Well, of course they're very giving people. And you know how giving they are? They're going to dig down deeper and find the money they said they didn't have and buy some toys.
Maybe they're going to go without some things that they need or want with the money that they earn, for the simple reason that, hey, this happened to Toys for Tots. This is a good charity that does a lot of good.
You're talking about something. People are not going to go without to give to Toys for Tots. It doesn't mean that much to them. I don't know if you have kids, but I can tell you one's own children mean a lot more to them than Toys for Tots, and you're not going to make the children. I can't believe I got to explain this to this guy.
Well, I'm all right. It's not that big of a deal. I mean, we're just talking. What do you got to explain?
I got to explain to this guy. Do you have kids? Do you have kids, sir?
All I'm getting across
you have
is this
kids.
Guy is not a hero. He is not
and you have kids.
No,
he doesn't have kids. You don't have kids.
All it says is that this community has come forward at the bat for the, you know, for Toys for Tots.
I didn't know I had to argue with people.
Okay, Amos, thank you.
If you have kids, you know what I'm talking about. That's the part that's driving me nuts. Why do I gotta argue with people?
Hold on for a minute. 877-876-PHIL. Don Berman back on Toys for Tots being ripped off.
Phil Hendry.
Berman from Channel 19 News. I don't know how many toys Toys for Tots collects over the year, or I guess they don't do it year-long, do they, Don?
It's primarily a seasonal collection. But I can tell you that when Toys for Tots finally, when they roll it out every year, it's always very successful in a good economy. Now, this is an economy that's down, so Toys for Tots needs a special effort. And this man came along and took 1,500 toys because he wasn't going to settle for people saying, this is all I could do. And the gentleman that called that I spoke to a moment ago who said, how do you know people won't make up the loss by just taking a toy from their own child? That's a man that doesn't have any kids. No man is going to take a toy from his own child and give it to a poor kid that he doesn't know. And I'm not trying to say people are cruel, but you can see how innately dishonest we are. This is why Channel 19, I'd like to also say, Phil, has won four Emmys. We were nominated, and I can tell you in three cases, it was very political, but in my mind, we've won four Emmys. And the reason? Because we tell people. You want to know why Toys for Tots got ripped off? The guy that did it wants to show the people who are donating toys what cheapskates they are.
Boy, that's a real long way to run, man, to come to that conclusion.
No, it's not a long way to run. What do you mean?
Okay, I give a toy to Toys for Tots. It gets stolen. I go, I buy another toy. What does that tell you?
It tells me, why didn't you buy that other toy in the first place?
Why didn't I buy two toys?
Why didn't you buy two toys? Or one toy that was worth the price of two? Not that hard to figure out. You know why you didn't? Because you thought you could get away with just the one toy. So when people say, I did what I could, you did what you could. I'm trying real hard to like people. I'm trying real hard to think the best for people. And they tell me something like that. They look in my face, and I can feel the spit coming from their mouth, hitting me in the face. They say, I did what I could.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. World famous Phil Hendry Show, talking to Don Berman from Channel 19 News. Here is Brian on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I think this guy's way off base. I think that people gave what they could, and that was enough. Now that their toys missing, or toys have been stolen, yeah, they're going to replace them. But that doesn't indicate that they were dishonest.
What do you mean enough? How do you know what enough is? If you had, for instance, I don't know how many toys they collect. If they say they collected $100,000 worth of toys at any one point, and instead they had $200,000, are you saying that's too much? Are you saying that $200,000 is too much? $100,000 is enough? I don't know what enough is. I think
I don't either.
The extent of a person. Well, I do. The extent of a person's ability to be generous. And people were dishonest. They bought those toys, they got stolen, and then they went to the store and bought more toys. What a cheap creep.
What does that mean, man? I mean,
I think we ought to call it the way it is.
I think you ought to worry about the guy that stole them. That's where you need to concentrate your efforts. Calling people
You haven't told me why.
Let me get a word in. Calling people dishonest because they didn't...
You haven't told me why, though. Tell me.
We want to hear what the man says. Go ahead, sir.
I said calling people dishonest because you don't think they gave enough isn't going to get any...
I know that it's hard.
And
I, I understand it's harsh. I understand that it's brutal. But I don't know how to, I'm a newsman. I don't know how to do it any other way. I got to call a spade a spade. You cheap,
You have any kind of proof at all that they were, the reason that these toys were stolen was because so that somebody would, so that they would go out and get more toys? You think that now that they've given more toys, the other toys are going to come back so that they'll have enough?
Yes, I do. I do. Well, the other toys aren't going to come back, but people are going to make up the loss.
You start calling people dishonest because you don't think they gave enough. They're going to say, "Well, that's never going to be enough. Why should I bother?" And that's going to be
I don't think Don Berman has that much influence. I'm just a reporter, and I'm saying that based upon my 25 years, I can tell you that's what's going on here.
Yeah, but where? What evidence do you have of that?
Don't worry about it. I'm a newsman based on my 25 years.
Well, if you're a newsman, you're supposed to know that the questions are who, what, where, when, and how.
No.
So what we're asking
when, where,
about
and why.
Here is what proof do you have?
You got it all wrong. It's who, what, when, where, and why.
Who, what, when, where, and how. Whatever.
Oh, not whatever. But I can. Are you a newsman, sir? Are you an editor?
What's that?
Is the gentleman in the news business? I will tell you. I've got a 25 years, and my nose has never been wrong.
That's not good enough, Don. You can't start. You're impugning a whole community, and you're saying the community of people in this area and all over the country are cheap creeps, I think was the words you used, because they don't come up with enough by way of toys. Now when they get ripped off, here they come donating again. Aha, they're cheap.
Right. How do you guys draw any other conclusion? That's what I'm trying to come up with.
What makes
how do you
think
figure
you're entitled to them?
What?
Where do you get the idea that you're entitled to anybody giving anything?
All I'm telling you is if you're going to make a big show out of giving toys for tots, then they get stolen, and then you come back and give more. What you're basically saying is, boy, was I cheap the first time at that, because look, I can afford more.
What?
You have no idea that these are the same people or new people.
But are you guys both retarded or something?
What are you talking about, man? If you're saying...
I'm saying if you can afford another toy, why don't you give it the first time?
You know these are the same people donating the first time that didn't donate... donating the second time that didn't donate the first time?
Oh, I get it now. You want to play a game now. It's almost as if we've been smoking weed and you want me to jump... You want me to jump out of a window or something. You're trying to mess with my head.
What you're saying is
he wants
that
to jump
people,
out of a window.
Yeah.
You're saying that these people are that donated the second time are the same people that donated the first time. So obviously they're cheap because they didn't donate two the first time.
I'm telling you, Mr. Henry, this guy, it's almost as if we dropped a hit of acid together and he wants me to leap out of a bell tower.
If you're the head of the
why? Because he's asking too many
questions. That's your attitude. Then I'm going to donate to the Salvation Army.
Oh, you're going to take my word? You're going to deny Toys for Tots because of me?
Because of your attitude. You're saying that...
All right, I think... you made a very good point. I got to move on to another call, though, but I appreciate it very, very much, Robert. Thank you. 877-876-PHIL. I don't understand what you're talking about.
What?
Like we're smoking weed and he wants me to jump out of a bell tower.
He's making all these... He's doing what, back in the day, people would mess with your head. And you'd be thinking of so many things, and I shouldn't say this, but you know that I had a drug rehab problem. And you smoked so much weed that all you want to do is dive through a plate glass window, do a perfect three roll, leap up, and run. Like in a lot of those, if you ever saw those Wolfman movies where the guy would turn into the wolf, he'd leap through a plate glass window, roll three times on the lawn, get up and run in a suit with a wolf head. It's the same thing.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to, this is Robert in Durham, North Carolina. Robert, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, please.
Don, I served 8 years in the United States Marine Corps. I've helped with Toys for Tots, and you made some good points, and you made some bad points, and I'm wondering if I can make a few points before you interrupt
me. Of course, sir.
Okay.
Go ahead, sir. And Don, you have the respect.
Of course, and I appreciate, is he the gentleman that collected all the toys for the Marines?
No, he was in the Marines, but that... Go ahead, sir.
Okay, the first point, you are right, Marines, we will adapt and overcome. We have adapted and overcome since 1775, okay? The second point, I gotta agree with Phil when he when he made the point that if people paid the extra money for the extra gifts or for the higher price gifts, like you said, Don, where would they have the money to replace those toys? That's the point that I don't think you understood that he was trying to say. Now, the third point is...
I don't think Phil was... I think you're giving Phil more credit. I don't think you said that, Phil, did you?
Well, I think the other gentleman made the point. It's a very good point. It's a very good point. If you spend that money up front, then you won't have the money.
If you spend it up front, the guy wouldn't have had to come along and steal the stuff.
Oh, brother.
Okay, the guy that stole the stuff, okay, apparently he doesn't give a crap about Christmas or anybody else having toys, okay? That's his problem, and he needs to be dealt with if he's ever found. Now, the community will come together to make sure that no child goes without a toy. It happens all over the United States.
Absolutely.
And I
want to say that... Yes, go ahead, sir. And then I want to make a statement in support of the Marine Corps.
Very good. Go ahead.
Some people, and I'm one of them, you know, I'll give up something, buy something for myself, to give to Toys for Tots to make up for that toy that got stolen. You know,
I agree with you. But, Robert, you're a Marine, and I thank you for your service to our country. Now, if I were a Marine, and I'm not a Marine, but if I were, and I was there at the collection center, and I saw a man like Mr. Hendry, let's say, walked up and put a doll in the bin, and I'd say, thank you, Mr. Hendry. Now I find out that we've been ripped off. We've had a bunch of toys taken, and Mr. Hendry comes up with a train set the next time. Now, I got to stop Mr. Hendry before he gets in his car, and I got to say, okay, what's going on?
You know, what do you mean, what's going on?
As a Marine, you wouldn't want to ask him that question? What are you doing with a train set the second time? The first time was a lousy doll.
What do you mean a lousy doll? Are you going to talk to people like that?
I don't want
to. Okay, Don, here's the thing. Some people, you know, they will donate a very good toy the first time. The second time, they may not have the money to get the equally or more of a value of a toy. They'll get the best they can.
Well, that's what they like. That's what they tell you because they're embarrassed that they were cheap the first time at the plate.
You're calling me part of that crowd because guess what?
No,
I had to do that before.
Marine, you were collecting it. If the stuff gets ripped off, Hendry came with a Chatty Cathy doll. Pull a string, it talks pretty good. Now it gets ripped off. Now Hendry comes back with a Racerama train set and a ship to the moon. Now what kind of a cheap bum... And
what makes you think I would do that, okay?
Well, if you did... I would have to say, why didn't you do that the first time? Why'd you come with some cheap doll, and the second time you got a rocket ship to the moon? I mean, this is the thing that drives me nuts about this story, and so I didn't look into it. But I thank the Marines, but if I were a Marine, I would say that's what I'd be looking at. I'd be looking at some of these people. If you recognize the guy the second time, you go, wait a minute, here he comes now. And he's got some special...
Marines aren't like that. I'm sorry.
He's
we're
like
not
a,
like that. We are happy for anything
thing.
That is donated
exactly.
from people's
right.
hearts.
Got to take a break. I appreciate very much your call, sir. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and we do thank the Marines for the Toys for Tots program every year. 877-876-PHIL. So if the toys get ripped off and people come back with more toys, then could they have afforded those toys in the first place? That's what Don Berman's special report is all about. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I mean, do you speak English or what?
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Don Berman joining us from Channel 19 News. And Don is, you mentioned Don, by the way, we're talking about the Toys for Tots. Every year, Toys for Tots is an outstanding charity. They collect toys for children who are underprivileged, and it's run by the Marine Corps. And this year, and every year, we got a story, you know, where the Toys for Tots have been ripped off. You know, somebody ripped off one of the collection centers. Somebody ripped off one of the bins. Don, you mentioned you have won three Emmys?
We have won three Emmys. In my heart, we've won three Emmys. We got nominated for three, Phil.
Did you win the three?
In my heart, we won the three.
Did you actually win three Emmys?
I think I've answered your question. And to that extent, we have done some crackerjack reporting on this very thing, where charities, let me give you an example, Phil, and this is a true story from Massachusetts. There was a woman today in Massachusetts that dropped off, get a load of this, hold on to your hat. Are you sitting down?
Yeah.
10 bags full of gifts to the Toys for Tots after she heard of the theft. 10 bags. Now, why didn't she drop those toys off earlier? Oh, well, if I would have gone to her and said, I'm Don Berman from Channel 19 News, why don't you give 10 bags of gifts to Toys for Tots? She would have looked at me, like a lot of people do anyway, as if there was a bad smell coming off of me, because I'm a reporter. Now, that's not all. Listen to this. There was another woman who donated a $5,000 check after she heard of the theft. Now, I'm not looking a gift horse in the mouth, but there's always something particularly lazy to me about people that just give right checks. And this woman felt so guilty that she hadn't done a thing, hadn't even gotten up out of her chair to look outside to see if it's cold enough, where if there is a poor person within miles of her house, they'd be suffering. But as soon as she hears about Toys for Tots, she got up the energy and the strength to actually sit down at a table and, with the last energy that she has in the world, pull out her checkbook and sign her name to a 5G check.
Boy, you are really cynical, man. You know.
What do you mean?
Oh, boy, with the last energy in the world and a $5,000 check, she wrote a check. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, and why didn't she do it the first time at that? Because she couldn't care whether those kids lived or died. I find that, Bill, to be the story. That's the story. That's the story, and that's what Don Berman of the Channel 19 newsroom has been working on.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I'm going to go to a phone call here. On the line in San Antonio is Karen. Hi, Karen. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Don Berman. Go ahead, please.
Hi. The only Hello. Thing I have to say about this is this guy, this newsman guy, I don't think that you care anything about these kids. I think that your whole issue, everything is about you. More attention for you, because you're being ungrateful for all of these people who has replaced these toys. And you're not concentrating on the fact that there was nothing more than a thief. There's a thief out there.
No one is answering my question. If that woman, and she's got to be an elderly woman, who else is so cheap that all they do is write a check, why didn't she give that money in the first place?
What do you mean, who else is so cheap? That's a terrible thing to say.
That's got nothing to do with any good. The only thing that happened is there's a bunch of toys that got stolen, they're being replaced, and you're not being grateful for anybody that's doing it. That means all of this is for you.
I'm grateful to the guy that stole the toys.
Is this job security for you? And you're in a rush, bad. It's a job security for you. You got to have a new gig.
No, it's not job security. I'll tell you what it is. You don't like what I'm saying because it points out that you're cheap. Did you give anything to Toys for Tots?
I don't like.
How many toys have you given to Toys for Tots?
How many toys have you given? That's a better question because that's the story. I'm doing the story about you.
You don't even have any idea how much. We're truckers, and we have given a lot to the kids all across the United States.
Well, guess what? They just got ripped off. They got ripped off. They just got ripped off, so you better start giving some more.
Well, what does that mean, Don? You just heard. The lady answered your question. They've been very, very generous, all right?
I know. They think they've been generous. They think. Now the toys have been stolen. Are they going to make it up? I doubt it very sincerely, given this woman's attitude. To make a point about Don Berman, ma'am, you would let those children have a Christmas with no toys just so you could squat over Don Berman. I don't think so.
Would you watch your language?
Well, I think that's what's happening. Just so this woman can lift her leg and mark her territory. Oh, listen to that.
Can we just clean up our language? How many toys have you donated?
Phil, I give to a variety of charities all year long. I head up not the United Way, but it's a couple of charities that are important to me.
And you're not a part of United Way?
No, I'm not. I don't particularly like United Way, if you want my honest opinion.
Well, what are the charities that you head up? Because, I mean, it's fair enough, I think, what this woman asked. What do you do?
It's the Don Berman Charities. The Don Berman Charities. Have you given to the Don Berman Charities, ma'am? I don't think you have.
How many toys have you given to Toys for Tots? That's what this is all about. Toys for Tots was robbed. There's a thief out there somewhere, and you are blaming the good people.
It's called Toys for Tots, not Toy-a-Tot. I don't know what language that is.
She said Toys for Tots. Do you donate?
I'm not going to donate to Toys for Tots when it's going to get ripped off. I'm going to wait for it to get ripped off and then get the big package of... You know what?
Oh, man.
You know, and you're laughing.
You're laughing.
You know what, man? Oh, boy. I bet you say that to every man that you are attracted to.
What does that mean?
You are.
All right. Thank you very much, Karen, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. We got time for one more here. Let's go to Mike. Mike in Fresno. Go ahead, Mike.
I'm rude in the extreme.
Go ahead. Yeah.
You know, how can you justify, for the caller, your guest, how can you justify being angry at these people for giving more, taking more money out of their pocket and possibly out of other charities that they were going to donate to,
Because they should have in the first place.
Well, what if this is certain amount of money that they had allocated because, well, I might as well speculate because that's what you're doing a lot of.
Maybe this is money
that came out of another charity that they just wanted to give to these children because whether they give one or a thousand toys.
You really want to make a lot of excuses for these cheap creeps, don't you? Well, you're making excuses for thieves, and I just don't. That's not my game. Homie, don't play that.
Phil Hendry. Homie, don't play that. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
We saw the toys strewn around the parking lot.
Yeah, they did quite a bit of sorting because what they left behind were all the younger...
I want Nancy Reagan to die, but before she dies, I want the woman to suffer.
We've taken procedures since this happened.
From a basket!
That is a threat on the radio.
They'll bring another couple home with them. That would be fun.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. On the way through the looking glass and beyond, going places where the talk shows wish they could, but they can't, because truth is our bitch on this show. Now, coming up tonight here in this hour, Robert Greene from Fraser Foods will join us to discuss the tradition of mistletoe and what they have done to revive a lot of these traditions for Christmas. Because there is a little bit of a backlash against the rolling back of Christmas being the raison of a celebration. People say there's not everybody celebrates Christmas. Not everybody is a believer in God. Not everybody is Jewish. So on and so forth. Why do we have to make it religious and so on? So Mr. Green will be with us. Also coming up tonight in our news hour with Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman, we have the AP Entertainer of the Year Award that was announced. The cast of Glee, James Cameron, Betty White, they were all nominated. We'll tell you who. And then a program note here from the Phil Hendry Show. On Thursday night, the 23rd, as we take Christmas Eve off on this show, and we are back the day after New Year's, on Thursday night, though, we will reprise Phil Hendry's Christmas Carol from last year. If you didn't hear it, you will get to hear it this year. And it's a cast of thousands. Well, it's a cast of a lot. And it is an hour long. And we'll do it in the last hour of our show on Thursday night. Phil Hendry's Christmas Carol, starring me as Bob Cratchit. I'll talk about it with Bud when we come up with the news hour here. But I think Bud is Scrooge, if I'm not mistaken. So we will reprise that for you coming up on Thursday night. 877-876-PHIL is our number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And the tradition of mistletoe, I just had a story. And I just wanted to read a little bit of this because I'm just not up on this stuff. And, you know, some of it is interesting. Some of it ain't so interesting. The mistletoe thing is kind of a kick because where did that go? I mean, where did that start and where's it going? You know, or is it going anywhere? Do people do it anymore? You know, for instance, kissing under the mistletoe, according to, well, our the ever-present Wikipedia, is first found associated with the Greek festival of Saturnalia and later with primitive marriage rites. They probably originated from two beliefs. One belief was that it had the power to bestow fertility, and and also is believed that the dung, that is the fertilizer from which the mistletoe grew, would also possess life-giving power. And Bob Green is joining us here from Fraser Foods. And I understand you're giving away mistletoe at Fraser Foods as a way of, bringing back the spirit of Christmas?
That is correct, Bill, and thank you for having us on. Fraser Foods, always appreciative of being able to let our customers, our neighbors, and everybody know that this year Christmas is going to be Christmas at Fraser Foods. We understand that there has been a conflict in society at large over whether we even celebrate Christmas anymore, but we do at Fraser Foods, and the mistletoe for us represents the warmth of friendship, the love. It represents family. It represents the, I guess, our ability and our willingness to get together, and the boundaries sort of drop, and we enjoy each other at Christmas time. To that end, we have brought it back not only in store but for our employees as well.
So you have a Christmas, you have a mistletoe in the store?
Well, we just have an archway over a aisle where our Christmas specialty foods are. A lot of the delicacies and stuffings and you name it, different kinds of vinegars, different kinds of condiments that you'd use at Christmas. We have an archway, and there's a mistletoe hanging there. So if a customer is standing under it, then we reenact or enact the tradition of mistletoe. For our employees, same thing. We have it in our break room, mistletoe, and we have it in the hallway leading to our offices. So nobody gets away with anything, Phil.
Do you ever get into a problem with employees or even customers, I suppose, who would say, I don't really do that, I don't believe in Christmas, you know, even though it is kind of a pagan thing, isn't it?
Well, that pagan thing, I heard you mention it, and it's a Christmas tradition. When you mention pagan, you're taking Christmas out of it.
Well, isn't it true, though, that the entire reason why there's any celebration at all at Christmas time is because, and I'm not saying that the Christian, the birth of Jesus is not not common. It's not a real thing. Jesus was born and Jesus lived, and you can believe that. But did they not move his birth to wintertime because it was when pagan cultures celebrated their winter solstice?
Well, I don't know anything about that, Bill. It could very well be true. I just don't want people thinking that we're celebrating a pagan thing.
No, of course not. Of course not. It's been adapted and embraced by Western culture as a Christian. But there are people that are Wiccan or whatever you want to call it.
Well, I know that a lot of the you mentioned the atheists. They like to say that they're going to celebrate the holidays, and there's no such thing because the pagans are. I don't know anything about that, but. To me, mistletoe, when you stand under the mistletoe, that's symbolic of Christmas. And I see my employees as, I see my employees really as my children. I'm the father, and then they are my children, and it's not quite that way, but it's a paternal relationship that I have with them, so that when a young lady is under the mistletoe, and she is, or if it's an older woman, of course, you're going to be more respectful. And generally what I'll do with my older employees, I'll kiss her hand.
Well, that's nice.
Yes, it's very genteel, I guess they tell me. I don't know. If it's a younger woman, then I'll let her kiss me on the cheek. When I say younger woman, probably a woman in her 50s, I'll let her kiss me on the cheek. And if it's a woman younger than that, I'll kiss her on the cheek. And only when we have a very, very young employee, like one who is 18 or older, then we will kiss on the lips.
You don't have a problem with that?
I don't know. I don't have any problem with it.
But I mean, do the employees? I don't know.
I think everybody here at Fraser Foods, Phil, as I said, we're like a family. You know, when I say I'm the father, I know it's unusual for a father to kiss his daughter on the lips. But in that instance, that makes sense because I've already kissed an older woman I've allowed her to kiss me on the cheek. The real old lady, you kiss on the hand, and so forth. This tradition, Phil, of kissing under the mistletoe did come from, I'm reading right now, some kind of pagan festivity, but then it evolved into Christianity.
What What you're a store, a grocery store, and you're a very proactive. I know, Bob, at holiday time, you do things that express the feeling and philosophy of the company. And you're very out there with your belief that Christmas should be celebrated. So have you had any pushback from Jewish customers, from Muslim customers?
None at all. None.
Really?
None at all. None. And you know what I think my Jewish customers, my Muslim customers, you know what I think they think? I think they think, oh, I'm shopping in a Christian man's store. And so that's what happens here. As long as I give them the quality that they have come to expect from Fraser Foods, my Jewish customers and my Muslim customers, they don't care. You get a little bit of a problem from people, they don't call themselves atheists, but they call themselves civil libertarian. I'll give you an example. When I saw this young girl who works for Stephanie standing under the mistletoe, I said, okay, Stephanie, and I had everybody clapping, it's time for the kiss. And I, you know, put my arm around her, and she tried to move her face away a little bit, but I held it, and I kissed her on the lips. Now, and
You sort of held her in place?
Well, I'd like you to listen to what I'm saying. She's one of these civil libertarians where she thinks that you can't, it's too religious, you know. And
so she didn't want to kiss under the mistletoe because of its...
Because of its affiliation with religion. And I told her, no, at Fraser Foods, this is our custom. And it's Christmas. At what point do you say openly, I don't like Christmas, and I don't like God, and I don't like Jesus? I mean, are you really, even if you're an atheist, you're not going to come out and say that. And I said to this Stephanie, I said, if you're into the mistletoe again, I'd like you to show your fellow employees and me that at least you're a sport.
You all right? So you, this young lady stood under the mistletoe and didn't want to kiss you because she was a
civil libertarian. She doesn't believe in the Christmas spirit. But if you're under the mistletoe, it is Christmas tradition in our store that if you are female, one of four things: either you get kissed on the hand, you get to kiss me on the cheek, I kiss you on the cheek, or we kiss on the lips.
How old is this young lady?
I'm not going to get into that. She was young, and I'm 46. And if I get into ages, then I think you're going to have some people in your audience, Phil. I know you're very fair, but your audience, just like in the store, there's a lot of pains in the ass, if you'll excuse my language, that are going to call in and call me different names.
Well, has this happened before? Our number, by the way, is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. I'm talking here with Robert Green from Fraser Foods about this mistletoe that they have in their store, and they have it for the employees, and they have it for the customers. How do you get around any kind of sexual harassment issue if someone refuses to kiss you on the lips or on the cheek?
Well, again, it's not sexual harassment because we're just trying to keep the tradition alive, and we're doing everything we can, and you've got to go to drastic measures. It's harmless to ask a woman who's standing under the mistletoe, you're under the mistletoe, will you at least have the common decency of adhering to this tradition? And that is to kiss the man that sees you on the mouth.
Well, you're not the only guy that these women are kissing.
No, not at all. We've got other male employees. I would prefer that it were me because it would then not get into sexual harassment issues. If it was other men, then it would. But I think you're bringing these things up. I think it clouds the holiday. And,
I'm just asking you because, well, you know, the times we're living in, Bob.
Oh, believe me, I get it.
But, you know, the times we're living in is that people are, everybody is so happy. But at your store, you do not have an issue with the celebration of Christmas. Your customers are okay, and people are all right with you kissing the female customer or the female, you know, employees.
Well, the female employees, when you say they don't have a problem with it, but they're going to, the tradition is that you kiss on the lips, and we are adhering to the mistletoe tradition. And so it's really not about are they okay with it. This is a store that I own.
You see,
it's a mistletoe tradition. Bill, see, the sexual harassment thing is out the window. Out the window.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I always wondered about that, too, whether at Christmas time sexual harassment could be cited if you're kissing under the mistletoe at work. Robert Green has mistletoe in the work area for his employees. He has mistletoe in the store for the customers, and they kiss when he kisses his customers and his employees if they're under the mistletoe. 877-876-PHIL. Bob Green takes your calls at 877-876-PHIL. And next hour, the news hour with Robert Dickman, with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
And I ask you a question. No, I don't kiss guys.
The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
From Fraser Foods, Robert Green, the CEO, we're talking about Christmas time employee relations with in the workplace, everywhere. But at Fraser Foods, they have mistletoe, which is a traditional kind of decoration for Christmas. And there is an obvious Christmas overtone to the celebration you do there, Bob. You don't make it happy holiday or anything else. I understand that. So we're talking about standing under the mistletoe and kissing. Now, you're kissing employees, and you're kissing customers.
Well, you know, Phil, we wanted to talk about the tradition of Christmas. What you're doing is you're turning this into a discussion of legalese, and I don't want to do that.
No, I'm just wondering how you deal with it.
Well, let me explain it this way, and this may be something that your audience needs to understand this as well, because I imagine that most of them don't. There is an inherent social contract. An inherent social contract, when you stand under a mistletoe, it is expected for you to receive a kiss. This is a legal term, and none of my current employees have a problem with it. When you ask about if we had a problem, we had a parting with one woman who claimed that I had held her head with both hands. I had. Why did I do that? Because she didn't know she was under the mistletoe. She was talking to somebody, and I said, you're under the mistletoe. And she was ignoring me, so I grabbed her head with both hands, kissed her, and I had to get to a meeting. She is no longer with us because she made some comment.
Did she legally go after you?
I don't recall. What I do recall was that she made some comment to someone in the ladies' room. In the ladies' bathroom.
How did you know that?
Because it is our business to know what's being said. And that's as far as I want to go with that. But we don't have the problem that you're talking about. The inherent social contract is you're a woman, you're standing under mistletoe, whether you're a customer or whether you are an employee, and you got to kiss me. That's really the social contract. There really is no discussion other than some of these civil libertarians I was telling you about.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. You just heard Bob talking about the tradition of mistletoe at Fraser Foods. Here is Eric in Winston-Salem. Go ahead, Eric, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, Bob, you are a sick individual.
Yes,
first of all,
why, because I want to kiss
held, you should have never held
kiss
that girl.
I'm sick.
You should have never held that girl there if he did not want to be kissed. If you would have done that in North Carolina, what you would have got was a old-fashioned Tar Heel butt kicking, which means I would have punched you straight right between the eyes.
Because I kissed a girl, they probably want me to kiss the guys in North Carolina.
No, we do not kiss guys in North Carolina. I guarantee
you
one thing. If you did that here in this state you're going to get punched right in the face.
I'd be elected governor.
You're threatening the guy. You're threatening the guy physically, so you don't really have any. You can't stay on air. Here's Ken on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Ken.
Well, after you sexually assault the young lady, does she still visit your establishment?
After I sexually assaulted you, what happened?
After you sexually assaulted the young lady. Does she continue to visit your establishment?
I didn't sexually assault anyone. Get off it. Get off
it.
We're talking about you.
When you force yourself on her, does she continue to visit your establishment?
She was an employee.
And she continues to work for you?
No.
And I thought not.
No, she doesn't.
Because if that had been my wife, employee or not, I had your head. I mean, you don't put yourself
wouldn't.
On somebody.
No, you wouldn't. You can't do that. You can't do that to me. I've got more money than you.
The same reason why you couldn't sit up there and force yourself on her. There's perverts like you that want to use Christmas time as an excuse to get your jocks off, but yet you got family young women who try to work for you to work for their kids and take care of home who got to deal with perverts like that. I don't think that's
pervert.
Right, man.
So you don't believe in, you don't believe in Christmas. You don't believe in Christmas and you don't believe in mistletoe,
point,
and
man.
We do.
You to use father, you to use head of household and all that, and talking about kissing young women under the age of 30 or whatever the case is in the mouth, but I'm going to respect everybody else. I mean, come on, man. You're a pervert. You know you're a pervert.
At what point did you give up on Christmas and the traditions of Christmas? I'm kissing a woman
I'm all for Christmas, man.
Okay, and you know what mistletoe is. You know what mistletoe is.
The mistletoe is of a willing participant, man. Of a willing participant. You don't force yourself off on somebody because, oh, there's a mistletoe. I get to go ahead and do what I want with her. No, man, you don't do no. Man, come on,
wait,
man.
What makes, you know, first of all, you're telling me that this was, the women didn't want it. In the case of this one woman, how come if she didn't want it, I did put my tongue in her mouth, but she responded.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You put your tongue in her mouth.
But she responded.
I hope that all your employees are listening to this call and understand that it is against the law for you to force yourself on them. If they don't realize that, hopefully after today they will.
You're way off base, sir. Way off base.
All right, look, no, I don't think so. Ken, thank you for your caller. Number 877-876-PHIL. What is this thing about putting the tongue in the mouth?
I did not put my tongue in her mouth until I thought that she put hers in mine. But I'm talking about mistletoe. I'm very offended that I've got to talk about talk to people calling me a pervert. I did not come on this program to be called names, Phil. And
hold on, Robert. We will get back to you. 877-876-PHIL. Mistletoe.
Phil Hendry. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. On the line is Robert Green from Fraser Foods. The other question I didn't ask you, Bob, at Christmas time here, a lot of customers, right? Oh, we don't have him. Let me just get him up on the line. I'm sorry, Bob.
I was answering a question, Phil.
Go ahead.
We've got customers at Christmas time. They are, in my opinion, people that appreciate the holidays, people that appreciate the traditional religious view of a holiday. That's what I'm trying to bring back. And what I've gotten here tonight from your audience is the face of America right now, and that is they don't like you doing that.
What I heard here are people who are on the line talking about not wanting a woman kissed.
I understand that, but the problem that we've got is that Christmas time is a traditionally religious time, and so therefore we need to see it as such, bring back the traditions as such, bring back the way we celebrate it as such, and not give it over to secular people. When I use the mistletoe in my store to kiss my employees and to kiss my customers, I am Robert Green, the CEO of a grocery store, standing alone against this tide of a non-religious celebration of the holidays. I don't feel as if I've got anyone backing me up. As you can see tonight, I've been insulted every which way. But I believe at Christmas we have to uphold these traditions. That's what we've attempted to do.
Well, tonight you've been hearing from men who are saying...
I've heard men call me a pervert because I want to kiss a woman under the mistletoe. For the very first time, this country is now sinking to that low where you call a guy names because guys see sex in everything. And even if it's an innocent kiss under the mistletoe, men are going to think they're going to be sexually threatened by that. Now, that's pretty sad. Well, I can tell you, Phil, that it is my belief that the religious aspects of Christmas are going to be reinforced at Fraser Foods.
But, all right, okay. That having been said, the mistletoe is a place where you are grabbing, you grab that one woman with two hands.
I grabbed her with two hands because she didn't know she was under the mistletoe.
You grabbed her head with two hands.
That's correct, yes.
And you and then you kissed her on the lips.
That is correct.
And next thing you know, she's not working there anymore.
That is correct. All of those things are true. None of them have anything to do with me. They all have to do with her and her reaction to the workplace, which I don't want to get into. But the fact is, and I do the same thing with customers. But I don't do it with all customers. You're not listening to me when I tell you, when I have an older customer, an old woman, I don't kiss her on the lips. I give her the respect she is due. I give all women respect. I give all women respect.
Well, then why, if a woman is due respect, why is it the young ones get a kiss on the lips and the old ones do not? They get a kiss on the hand or whatever it is.
Well, because of the fact that there is a comfort level for me as well. And Mike... You know, you're asking me...
Why is it, if you want to give respect to all women, the old women are kissed on the hand, the young women kissed on the mouth?
Because there is a level of comfort for me that has to be observed. Because I run the company, and, you know, it's really funny, Phil. If people don't want to be kissed, why do they stand under the mistletoe? You know?
Well, some people may be standing there by mistake.
No, you're not standing there by mistake.
But the question still holds. Why is it that some women are kissed on the hands and the other ones are kissed on the lips?
I am not comfortable kissing an old woman on the lips because out of respect for her. Out of respect for her.
Not out of, you said a comfort level for you.
Yes, a comfort level for me and respect for her. She, to be respectful, you don't want to kiss, and you're not going to have a makeout with an old woman, and I wouldn't want to.
Well, who says it's a makeout? See, this is the problem I think you're getting into, right? No, when you have a woman standing under the mistletoe and you kiss her on the lips, and she wants to be kissed on the lips, it's probably a very delicate and very chaste and very respectful kiss on the lips, if that's what she wants. But when you say a makeout scene, you know...
Well, how else... Are you kidding? How else do you kiss somebody on the lips? You got to put your arms around them, and you got to go into a... I don't understand what you're saying.
What are you talking about, a makeout scene? So you got an old lady there.
You are going at it.
With an old woman.
I wouldn't do that with an old woman. For my own personal comfort. What you've done and what this program has done is...
Well, I'm sorry if it makes you uncomfortable, Robert, okay? But this was something we had to have answered. You got an employee that's out the door. You know.
And we had an employee at the door because I grabbed their face and I...
Robert Green from Fraser Foods, good luck. 877-876-PHIL. Next hour, we got Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman with our news hour. And who's AP's Entertainer of the Year? Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Not for long, it ain't. 877-876-PHIL. And we have Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman next hour, the news hour. Coming up on Thursday night, probably not a minute too soon, we're going to have our reprise of Phil's Christmas Carol from last year. So that ought to just burn up a good hour, and I think you'll enjoy it. Check us out at, the last hour of the show. That's midnight West Coast. That'd be 3 a.m. on the East Coast for Phil's Christmas Carol, and that's right here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And our website is philhendryshow.com. Right now we have our shop up, and the Phil Hendry Shop has the best of CDs for 97 through 2005. Check them all out if you have a chance over at philhendryshow.com. And if you want to buy one, two, three, or all of them, you can do that too. It's a pretty good Christmas gift for the Phil Hendry fan or the prospective Phil Hendry fan in your family. That's philhendryshow.com, and that is our shop, our merchandise shop. And we've got a couple of other things we're going to be introducing there over the next, I don't know, probably over the next month or so. So our reprise of the broadcast of A Christmas Carol, head on over to philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass, too, and you can look at the live streaming video and listen to live streaming audio of this just marvelous radio show. 877-876-PHIL. So what else is happening in the news? Well, a guy that wrote a book about pedophilia has been arrested, and he's been put in jail. Now, was that going to be a surprise? I don't think so. The Colorado man who sparked a firestorm of controversy with his self-published pedophile guide on Amazon has been arrested on obscenity charges. Officials with the Polk County, Florida. Why do these guys all wind up in Florida is just the first question of many that I have. Anyway, officials with the Polk County, Florida Sheriff's Office said today that they worked with law enforcement in Pueblo, Colorado to arrest Philip R. Graves, 47, author of the electronic book, The Pedophile's Guide to Love. I'm not even going to read to you the title of this thing, because it makes me want to vomit. Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd, and if that ain't a sheriff, I don't know what is. Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd said his office obtained a warrant for Graves' arrest after the author mailed a signed copy of the book to undercover detectives. Are you kidding me, man? They asked for a signed copy? They wanted the author's signature, yeah. To undercover detectives, giving them jurisdiction, Graves has been charged with distribution of obscene material depicting minors engaged in harmful conduct. If you want to put it that, I mean, that's putting it mildly. Oh, God, that's disgusting. And let me ask you something, Amazon. Why do we not have a Amazon audio? Well, in any event, let me ask Amazon something. Why do you even put that garbage in your store? Anybody got any idea? You know, I know you guys are in a real rush to make money. I know that it's just there. Times are wasting, and you have got to get out there and make hay while the sun shines, and it's a bad economy. And, I mean, you will squeeze the last dollar out of anything, but you really ought to have somebody on your website or your online store or whatever it is that you call it and have someone standing there maybe vetting some of this stuff. You think? I know they finally removed it, but not before, I don't know, how much did this guy, he sold enough to have people wanting an autograph for it? Good God. Anyway, Judd, who's the cop, said the book was outrageous that someone would pen a how-to manifesto. Well, you're a cop. Thank you very much, sir, for your opinion. We just want people arrested. We appreciate that you have an opinion. You're a private citizen. You're entitled to it, but your opinion is your opinion. And what I want, the opinion of the jackballs that published this thing, the opinion of the people at Amazon, and the opinions of anybody that bought it. I thought the book was outrageous, he said. Then Graves will be booked into county jail in Pueblo, but Grady said his office is seeking extradition to Florida. Amazon pulled the book after customer complaints because Amazon was too stupid to know they were even selling it. Amazon was too stupid to know they were even selling a book, a how-to on child molestation. That's how on top of everything you guys are at Amazon. Although I have to tell you, there may be something to it, Amazon. I mean, you guys just throw anything up there in the world. You could become the Craigslist of online bookstores. At the time, the author told ABCNews.com that his critics are misunderstanding the point of the book. No, nobody misunderstands it, you sick bastard. So there's that. All right, what's next, man? Entertainer of the year? What is it, bud?
Yeah, we get the award at Saturday Night Live.
Saturday Night Live?
Or I mean AP Entertainer of the Year.
AP Entertainer of the Year. She had a year going from, who is this? Oh, yeah, she had a year going from Saturday Night Live to AP Entertainer to the Super Bowl. AP Entertainer of the Year is Betty White. And there you go. I don't know where the story is, man. Why don't you send me the story there, Ace, instead of giving me the headline, okay? The FCC is poised to adopt network neutrality. This network neutrality is the worst story, the most boring story in the history of the world, man. All right, here it is. After a year of Saturday Night Live to the Super Bowl, Betty White voted AP Entertainer of the Year. What Betty White did in 2010 doesn't usually happen. An 88-year-old actress with more than six decades in Hollywood suddenly becomes the object of adulation of the Facebook-connected masses, which campaigned for her to host Saturday Night Live, boosting the show's image and helping her set ratings records. After a remarkable year for a star of any age, which has been voted the Entertainer of the Year by members of the Associated Press. It's ridiculous, White says of the honor in an interview from her home in Los Angeles. They haven't caught on to me yet, and I hope they never do. But more than a claim, her unlikely age-defying success resonated deeply with people who saw in her a spirited, hilarious aberration, a woman not dimmed by age but enhanced by it. The genuine article in a pop culture awash in imitators. So that's great.
You're a Betty White fan?
No, man, I'm not a Betty White fan. So that story's boring. God almighty. Good for you, Betty. That's great, but I could care less.
Yeah, but maybe you like Golden Girls and stuff.
That's great, man. I don't care. God, can we get some stories here that Phil likes? Anything. Anything, man. You know? I didn't anticipate that that hour with, Bob Green would stiff. Oh, here's the review that I was telling you guys about. Meet Little Fockers, the latest in Robert De Niro and Ben Stiller's comedy franchise. Grit your teeth, though, the fairly short, though agonizing duration of its stay. Apparently, this movie just stinks.
I don't know about it, man.
Well, it's the... it's called Little Fockers. And in this thing, apparently now they've had kids, they've had babies.
Yeah.
And the babies are born... And the in-laws come, and apparently it just stinks. Now, I thought the very first one they did, which was Meet the Parents, I thought that was funny as hell. The Fockers joke, F-O-C-K-E-R-S, which we would never be able to say.
Yeah, but that's got O.
No, but still, it doesn't make any difference. I would never be able to say that name were it not for the fact that there is a movie with the characters named like that. Otherwise, they'd think I was being gratuitous, you know.
Well, you're being gratuitous about that word not even spelled that way.
Doesn't make any difference. Because there's a movie with a name in it spelled that way, I'm okay, man. I can't get in trouble. If there wasn't, if I say F-O-C-K-E-R-S, I say Fockers, just because I decided, like Phil Hendry created a family named Fockers, I'd be fired. But because a Hollywood writer did it, anyway... Meet the Parents, fantastic, funny. Then along comes Meet the Fockers, because that joke took off. So they said, that's the money. That's the money, man. Let's go. So they come out with Meet the Fockers. That movie sucked. Now, let me just tell you, Meet the Parents was good. So this guy here, this Germain jackass, you're wrong, Mr. Germain, about the first movie was great. So you're wrong about that. The second movie, you're right, stunk. And the third movie, I ain't seen yet, but you're probably right. It probably stinks, too. The first one was funny as hell. He goes on to rip this flick. He says that De Niro and Stiller were paid a lot of money. Barbara Streisand got a lot of money. Owen Wilson, Jessica Alba. Dustin Hoffman didn't want to do the movie, but when they said, here's the check, he said, okay. He showed up. And it's basically now the same crap that they did in the second movie, which is the difference between the two in-laws. One set of in-laws is weird ass. The other, well, they're both sets of in-laws.
Well, I mean, like one of them is like a hippie or something, right? And the other one like a CIA?
Yeah, well, the girl's parents are, no, his parents, Fokker's parents are weird hippy-dippy or whatever the hell that is. And her parents are straight-laced, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a conflict of interest or whatever they call it.
It's dramatic tension, and it still didn't work. He says the jokes are lame, incredibly, including a terrible play on words involving the Godfather. And, okay, so don't go see it, man. There it is. In Houston, Texas, there was a loaded gun that made it into the airport. You ready for that? Houston businessman Fareed Saif. Yeah, I'll bet he is.
Yeah, right there, man. They should have done a special security check on his name. Yeah, they can't do it on account of that be profiling.
You're right. They couldn't do it. Fareed Saif says it was startling. It was a startling discovery. He didn't intend to bring a loaded gun on a flight out of Houston, and he can't understand how TSA screeners didn't catch it. Yeah, Roger. Nearing the height of this year's Christmas travel season, TSA screeners at Bush International Airport somehow missed a loaded pistol that was tucked away inside a carry-on computer bag. A loaded pistol
Are you thinking he did it on purpose?
I'm not saying that he did it on purpose. Here's what I'm saying. There's a lot of people that would say he's lying. There's a lot of people who would say, were his name not Fareed Saif, let's say his name was Bob Lewis, they'd say he was lying. In other words, it doesn't matter what he is, who he is, where he's from, or how he got the way that he is. There's a lot of people that would say the guy's a liar, that he knew that the gun was in there, and that the guy is lying, saying that he didn't. And I may be one of them, but not because the cat's name is Fareed Saif, but because the guy just may be a scumbag. That's what I'm saying. But you can't certainly do a profile on this guy because of his name. That would mean that he was a Muslim and he's Arab, and you don't want to do that because that would put you into a whole world of hurt. If you looked at the cat and said, well, traditionally, you know, the hijackers of late have all been of some sort of Arab or Muslim persuasion, well, then you might say, let's take a look at this guy, but you can't do that. If you would take a look at this guy, then maybe they would have found the gun.
Yeah, but he said that the TSA should have found it.
If they did a special, you know what I'm talking about, a special security screening?
Yeah, I'll take your bag and look at it. And if your name is Saif or something like that, they can't do it. All they're going to do is they just kind of suspect you and everything like that.
In other words, man, it's like if you go to Mexico and you're trying to get in through customs, they have to push a button. And if you got a green light, you can come through. If you have a red light, you got to, you know, they got to check your bag. It's not based on anything. It's completely random. That's how they do it. Or at least that's how they did it in Mexico. And that's what we want to do here in the United States. Yeah, we're sort of basing it on the Mexican system, except we've had a terrorist attack with 3,000 people dead. So we're sort of using an outdated system. Nonetheless, he says he couldn't understand how TSA didn't spot this bag. He said, I mean, it's not a small gun. It's a .40 caliber. Saif says it was an accident, which he didn't realize until he arrived at his destination. He says he carries the Glock for protection, but forgot to remove it from his bag. He reported the incident as soon as he landed, shocked at the security lapse.
Well, I see that man. He reported it, man. He wanted everybody to know.
Uh-huh.
Well, you don't believe it?
No, I don't. There's nothing else in there. How can you miss it? You cannot miss it. Authorities tell ABC News the incident is not uncommon. How do I know that this jackass even had the gun in the bag? Maybe he got it from somebody else. The whole reason I'm bringing all this stuff up is this guy, I don't buy. I'm telling you right now, I don't believe it, not for a second.
Yeah, but what is he going to have a gun in there for?
Maybe he put it in there to embarrass him. Maybe he put it in there as maybe it was one of them trial runs, you know?
Oh, yeah, like they were testing it out.
Are you crazy? That's not going to do nothing.
Maybe not. KTRK's aviation security expert Jim Conway says screeners have a demanding job and are susceptible to fatigue. Get out of here. Look, this is simply human error, Conway said. When something like this happens, it's human error. I mean, these folks are doing the best job they can. Saif and others say that's not good enough, not when lives are on the line. Look at this, man. The Saif guy's got himself. He's like one of the real people. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Or not.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Yeah, they did quite a bit of sorting because what they left behind.
We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to start a production company.
We've taken procedures since this happened.
Harvey used to make a joke about gays in the military. Isn't that redundant?
When you're in the red play Prim, Nevada.
Jews are good with money.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Through the looking glass we go. Truth is our bitch. And we go places other talk shows will sometimes wish they could. Football is the top audience grabber on television. Now, is that a shocker or what? No? Oh. Katie Couric is looking at a pay cut. Shoppers crowd the malls along for looking for a last-minute Christmas gift. And PhilHendryShow.com, and we have Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard here on this Monday night, man.
Man, you in a bad mood tonight, ain't you?
I'm in a bad mood, yeah. Yeah, I am.
Why?
You know why. You guys are going to start working harder around here.
You guys talking about that?
Well, you're going to start working harder around here. Yeah, I'm in a bad mood. Show sailing along, doing real good, and all of a sudden just stiff right out of the blue. You guys are going to start doing a better job. You're going to get out there and you're going to start producing this show better, okay? Not sitting around here looking at Bud's new iPhone.
You got a pretty good app there.
I don't give a crap about the app he got. What do you got there anyway?
I got an app here where fishes, you can feed them and everything. And
is that stupid pond thing?
Yeah, you was playing with it.
Well.
What were you playing with?
What do you mean, what was I playing with? Look at guy, I don't care what apps he's got, okay? I don't care if he's got the new petting zoo app. I don't care if he got the pond where you feed the fish.
What about the one where you pet the kitty?
What do you mean, pet the kitty?
Yeah, see, it purrs.
Get out of here with that, will you? You guys are sitting fooling around with that stuff, man. I want you cats thinking up places to go with this radio show, man, okay? I just got done talking to George Rodriguez today. I did an interview with George. I'm listening to all of these Boca Bryan bits. I'm remembering the days in Miami, man, when we were just, I mean, we were on fire, man. We were on fire. We were going everywhere and doing anything, man. We were unpredictable. The audience would tune in just to see what kind of crazy crap we'd do, man. God almighty, have we gotten old around here? That's the last good talk radio I ever heard in my life when I was in Miami. That's the last quality talk radio, Neil Rogers. Ever since then, I haven't heard a talk show, man, that comes within 100 miles of it. I don't give a damn if you're talking about Sean or Glenn or Rush or me or anything. That poor man, Neil Rogers, the greatest radio show, I haven't heard anything that good in 15 years.
Well, then you should get that good.
That ain't going to happen. But I'll tell you one thing we can do. We're going to start working toward it because I don't hear anybody else doing it. But the thing that just drives me crazy, man, I know what it takes, okay? I know what it takes. It takes growing a pair. It takes using this medium in a little more of a daring fashion, okay?
What are you talking about, man? You're about as crazy as it gets. You're weird, man.
I may be weird. Well, guess what? We're going to get weirder around here. I'm getting so sick and tired of this by-the-book, by-the-numbers radio I could throw up. 15 years, I haven't heard a show worth listening to. That's why I don't listen to the radio. I don't listen to talk radio. I don't even listen to music radio.
No, you got the radio on though.
Yeah, I listen to news. I listen to news radio and the traffic. That's how sexy it is for me. Here in Los Angeles, we got KNX radio, CBS radio. I listen to the damn traffic. What's going on in the traffic? After that's done, goodbye. I'm all done, man. You know the problem with news radio? Those guys can't even cover a news story with any real interest. News radio and television news are the same. They got the same problem. If you're going to do a news story, then do the story. I want to hear about it. I want the ins, the outs, the ups, the downs. If you read in a newspaper, there's a news story, and they have like five or six different features with it, okay? 3 minutes later, the guy's done. He's moved on to something else. In any event, that's when I don't even listen to that crap. What's wrong with you guys?
I don't know, man. I don't want to get yelled at.
I'm not yelling at you. I'm just telling you. I'm challenging you. We're going to start doing some radio around here that hasn't been done before. I don't give a damn if I am the weirdest thing anybody ever heard. It ain't weird enough for me. And I'll tell you one other thing, too. We got to start getting back to where people live. All of this news talk, I'm ready to... I'm going to tear what's left of my hair out of my head. News talk. That's the worst talk radio ever invented, news talk. Like somebody's going to get... Take a look at this stuff, man. This is day 16 for this. Switzerland's going to repeal its incest law. Who did that?
I thought it was interesting and everything on account of sex.
Yeah, so in other words, you think that's really funny, huh? I don't care about Switzerland's incest law. Nobody else does.
Yeah, they do, man. I think it's funny.
Really? Is it funny? So what are we going to do? Get all these kickers, man, and start laughing about this stuff. The problem here is that the audience, the people who consume news, have been trained so well, they have been brainwashed so well, and they don't know anything else that they expect this garbage. And the people that puke this garbage up, the news editors and the newspapers and the broadcast networks have been brainwashed into their jobs so well and have been locked into their job so well, they don't know how else to do it. They don't know anything else. They don't know anything else to do. They don't know any other kind of news to report. They don't know how to do it anymore. I mean, everything today in terms of information is in this loop, man. It's stuck in a loop. The same misinformation, the same. I mean, if I talk about one news story being misreported, I've talked about 500 of them. So it's not even like it's interesting when somebody misreports something. All they're doing is just misreporting it. WikiLeaks. That's how exciting it gets. WikiLeaks. That guy, that Assange, he couldn't find his ass with both hands. You talk about somebody that was born lucky. That guy's got a horseshoe shoved so far up his rear end, he's choking on it.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's still kind of interesting, isn't it?
No, it's boring as hell. That guy hasn't gotten anything. He hasn't exposed anything that's of any consequence to anybody. That WikiLeaks, whatever documents he's got, and I keep waiting for some big revelation, man.
Well, he says he's going to come out with a few more.
Oh, yeah, I'll bet he is. He said that about 3 weeks ago, didn't he? He's been saying that ever since his story, bro. Well, I gotta wait a minute, because I got some more good stuff. You ain't got nothing, man. And now it turns out that maybe you are guilty of some serious sexual misconduct. A minute there, I thought people were making it up, you know?
Yeah, well, apparently, just like Bob Green, he told a lady she can't have a condom when he's doing a mistletoe.
Boy, are you nuts, man.
What are you talking about, man?
A condom with a mistletoe?
Well, but whatever, Green, didn't he force her, she forced him to wear a condom?
Who?
Bob Green.
Who forced Bob Green to wear a condom?
The lady with the mistletoe.
Why would you have to wear a condom when you're kissing a woman under a mistletoe?
I don't know. Why does any of it ever be?
Well, that's a good point, bud.
Yeah, why does any of it ever be?
All right, look, before we take a break, why does any of it ever be? Before we take a break, here's a great one. Rescue personnel rush to Broadway's Foxwoods Theater after an actor in Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark. That's the name of the play. A Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark fell 30 feet during a live performance in front of a preview audience. The Fire Department of New York confirms they were called at about 10:45 in the evening. It was unclear which actor was involved in the accident. The only information initially released was that it was a 31-year-old man. He was taken to Bellevue Hospital. Gawker.com reported the actor playing Spider-Man was the victim, but they've not stated yet if the actor was Reeve Carney or his understudy, Matthew James Thomas. It happened during the middle of Act 2 when a cable reportedly snapped. The actor fell into the pit in front of the stage. God! Reports from the scene claim audience members heard screaming, followed by a shout for someone to call 911. The show was eventually canceled. I'll tell you, this show's going to get canceled. They're going to cancel the whole show. The city of New York's going to cancel this show.
Why would they do that?
Because this show obviously cannot be performed properly. They've had injuries. They've had people hanging in the air. They're going to have a death. I got a prediction for you right now. They're going to cancel this show.
What they did?
No, they're going to cancel the show outright.
Man, that ain't going to happen, man.
No, you don't think it'll happen?
No, they got too much money tied up in that, man. The producer go wild.
Well, the producers may go wild, but if they got anybody responsible in the city of New York, they'll say, you're not going to get a permit for this. We're pulling your permit. You're going to kill somebody. You understand?
Yeah, but he's right. But the money, they're a lot of powerful people.
What has that got to do with anything? Boy, you guys are really, you've really wussed out on this one.
I'm just saying, man, a lot of powerful people, a lot of money.
Well, there may be a lot of powerful people. You know, it's very interesting. We come from almost a century of literature and film and popular culture talking about the powerful stepping on the weak and how we're going to change that and how we're going to assert the rights of man. And here we are. Well, you can't really, you know, better not cancel that.
I'm just saying, man, that you know, how many millions of dollars they got tied up in this thing? You're going to go to them and say, no, you can't have it?
Yes, that's exactly what you're going to do. I would, if I was the mayor of New York or whoever the hell is in charge of this asinine production Spider-Man Bite Me.
That would have been a better title.
I think so. Spider-Man Bite Me. No, this asinine production, they should have said to them, you know what, I'm awfully sorry, gentlemen, but I got to pull your permit. We're not going to allow you to go on with this show. And they're going to go, oh, my God, what are you talking about? You know the money? But I know you got a lot of money, but I'm telling you, you could have had a man killed. He fell 30 feet. You understand? 30 feet, three stories. He fell into the orchestra pit. I don't know what happened to him. You've had injuries. You've had malfunctions. You've had equipment go haywire. You've had people who could have been seriously injured hanging high above the crowd on cables for whatever reason. Now, whoever you jackasses think you are, or whatever it is you think you're doing, I got news for you. You're done. Now, you're going to have to go back, and you're going to have to work this out. And I don't know whether we're going to permit this thing for New York or not. We don't need this, okay? People dying.
Yeah, well, they'll just say it's not going to kill an audience member.
Let me ask you a question. You just brought something up.
Yeah, but it won't.
Yeah, really? What if that guy fell from that thing and he landed on an audience member? Maybe a young child, maybe a kid. And broke that kid's neck as well as killing himself. What do you think people would have said then?
Well, you gonna go talk to Bloomberg?
Who, me?
Yeah.
What the hell is he going to listen to me for, man? Somebody in that town ought to talk to him and say, you know what, Mr. Mayor, this is bullcrap. You got to shut this down, man. I predict they will. All right, our number is 877-876. Phil, we're going to be coming back here right after this commercial break. Shoppers crowded the malls for last-minute Christmas gifts. Were you one of them? 877-876-PHIL and philhenryshow.com.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, you are. And our website, philhendryshow.com, where there's still time to do what? I guess there's always going to be time. You can go over and get yourself a backstage pass and watch our live streaming video of the show. And if you're watching live streaming video of the show right now, what am I pointing at, Bud?
That's our coffee beans right there.
Coffee bean. That's the coffee bean that I pitched by mistake. Not by mistake, but I just, look at this. There's a coffee bean in my coffee. It hadn't been ground up completely, so I flipped it up in the air, and it landed on the drum. And Balzac, who is our one of our subscribers, wrote me, B-A, you know, Balzac as in...
As in Balzac.
No, as in the philosopher.
Oh.
Anyway, he wrote and he said, don't ever move that bean, so we won't. Anyway, go on over, get a backstage pass, and check out the Phil Hendry Shop for our classic Best Of CDs, which are available. We're getting them out as fast as we can. We cannot guarantee delivery by Christmas, but we're doing everything possible to do it. So, you know, it's going out first class, so there you go, my friend. All right. Intense rainfall causes flooding and snarls traffic in Southern California. That's right. How do I know? Because I lived it, man. We were right in the middle of this thing. As a matter of fact, I was heading up for dinner the other night, last night, and I hit something that you see in California quite a bit during the winter storms. Now, this is a little early for a winter storm.
Yeah, I don't remember raining like this near Christmas time, man.
Well, but there's snow and everything.
Well, there's snow, but the rain usually isn't until February. I mean, this kind of rain. This is the worst storm we've had. But there, as I was driving along the road, and I was on this sort of a frontage road that is along the beach, right along Ventura Beach, and it's dark, and all of a sudden, road closed. You know, just I didn't quite, you know, squeal it or anything, but
the one that was like right in front of you.
Yeah, I mean, it came up out of the dark, you know, just road closed. And I'm like, wow. So I got up to the signs, and sure enough, man, that whole section of road was flooded. Now, the same thing happened to me in Hollywood many years ago. I was going down Cahuenga, and it just sort of dips at this certain area, and it was a lake. So I turned around and went the other way. But the rain has just not stopped, man. There's been flash flooding. There's been mudslides. There's, as they say here, dangerous driving conditions. Downtown Los Angeles received more than 4 inches of rain since the storm started moving into the area Thursday, prompting officials to issue flood warnings. Now, this, what's weird about this is that we had really great weather.
Yeah, you were bitching last week, and all of a sudden everything rained just bad and everything like that. What are you laughing at?
What do you mean, man? The bitch of that week, everything's been bad now. Say it good, man.
What do you mean, say it good?
Say it gooder, man.
Say it gooder? It's hard.
You can't say that.
All right. Anyway, I know what you mean, man. All right, so downtown L.A. had 4 inches of rain. More than 6 inches of rain had fallen in the foothill communities near the Station Fireburn area, Where the hell is that? Station Firebird. I don't know what the hell. And then San Gabriel Mountains received as much as 10 inches. That's where I grew up there in the foothills. National Weather Service issued a flash flood warning. It sucked, man. There's no two ways about it. Big time rain, heavy rain in Kern County. And then I heard they had some problems up in the state of Washington. So the weather's getting weird. That's all there is to it. I just, you know, the thing that is driving me, you know, crazy is that it's now a political issue. And so because it's raining, well, that means that we've got to do so. Because it's now raining a lot or it's now really hot, then you better do this, that, and something else. It's going to cost an arm and a leg or else. Or else what? Or else what? All right, so that was what we had to contend with. Meanwhile, I was looking at the TV ratings. Well, I did have the TV ratings, but Tom Brady represents what's going on in American television right now, which is basically football. He completed 15 of 24 passes for 163 yards and two touchdowns on Sunday night. That marks the seventh straight game with at least two passing touchdowns and zero interceptions, which breaks a tie with Don Meredith for the longest such streak. Seven straight games with at least two touchdowns and no interceptions. And that breaks a tie he was in with the late, great Don Meredith for the longest such streak all time. Wow. So in any event, there are the New England Patriots doing good. And the highest-rated TV shows this fall are football shows, or football games, I should say. Now, I don't know whether that's all that unusual, but apparently it is. I would think that people would want to watch football, but I don't have any perspective on that. Do you know?
I don't know.
I mean, so there's a lot of other shows that people watch, and people watch football. Let's take a look at some of the other games that were on. What is this? Bernie Kosar? Why am I looking at Bernie Kosar? Oh, here we go. Anyway, TV ratings. Tom Brady sets the record for NBC. NBC rather takes it on Sunday night. 60 minutes, a whole bunch of garbage. But here is CBS 60 minutes, NBC Football Night in America, NBC Sunday Night Football, NBC Sunday Night Football, NBC Sunday Night Football. So there you have it. Those are the ratings. When are we breaking, man? 28 or 26?
I forget now.
28. All right. In the other story that we had here for you in Chatsworth, one dad, Lester Saley, says he's alarmed at how accessible real-looking toy weapons are to children and has taken his concerns to the neighborhood council in the San Fernando Valley. He said his 14-year-old daughter walked up to an ice cream truck around the corner near nearby Noble Middle School in Chatsworth one day after class and bought a pellet-firing black toy gun that Saley said looked much too real. A pellet-firing black toy gun. They look just like real guns, he said. Yeah, they do, man. Where you been? I know because I have twenty firearms myself. He said he's an NRA instructor, a military veteran, and a Boy Scout leader. He asked his daughter to purchase the toy gun after her classmate was suspended for bringing a similar gun to school. After his daughter bought one, he tested the toy's accessibility again by sending his younger 12-year-old daughter to an ice cream truck. What is this story about?
Back the guns and look the same.
It goes on forever, and it never gets to anything interesting. If the point of the story here, Bud, is the fact that there are guns that look like toys, well, yeah, you know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, whatever, man. And there's also pellet guns that look like real 22s. All right. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and the Phil Henry Show website, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. Look at live streaming video. Get our archives. We'll be right back.
Listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. It wasn't clear before, this season has underscored the point italicized it and shouted it from the rooftops. NFL football is by far the most popular form of programming on American television. If it wasn't clear before. This is by Bill Carter of the New York Times. Of the 20 highest-rated telecasts of any kind so far this television season, 18 have been NFL games on CBS, NBC, or Fox. In terms of the best of 2010, nothing else comes close. Of the 50 highest-rated programs during the calendar year, 27 have been NFL games, including 8 of the top 10. Now, you notice, folks, I haven't gotten to it yet. Is that unusual? In other words, have the top shows last year been football games or the year before? Did Bill Carter suddenly decide he's going to write a story about how football is tops? I don't know. I know that people like to watch football. You know that, too. People have liked to watch football for as long as I've been alive. People have loved football for as long as I've been alive. People have preferred football over any other kind of programming for as long as I've been alive. You guys know the Heidi game? You ever heard about the Heidi game?
What is that about, anyway?
The Heidi game was a Oakland Raider New York Jet game in whenever the hell it was, November of 1968. And it was on the West Coast, which means it was on at 1 o'clock to, you know, whatever, 4 o'clock on the West Coast. But on the East Coast, it was on late. It was a 4 o'clock game. Well, it just so happens that NBC had scheduled at 7 o'clock on Sunday night the movie Heidi.
What's that?
I don't know, man. It's a movie about a little kid, a Swiss kid or something.
What do you mean, a Swiss kid?
Some kid that was from Switzerland, man. I don't know. She had pigtails. Her name was Heidi.
All right, man. I don't know. I got Pippi Longstocking or something like that.
Yeah, like Pippi Longstocking. I don't know what the hell she did. She was a little girl, and it was a movie for kids. Kids dug it, okay?
Yeah.
So now, and this ball game that was being played, the Jets that year went to the Super Bowl and won. They were the first American Football League team to win, so it was a very big season for the Jets. It was a huge season for the Raiders because the Raiders themselves were coming into their own as a professional football team. So anyway, the game goes long, and it goes back and forth. I don't remember exactly what happened or who won, but I do know that I think the Jets were ahead by maybe a couple of touchdowns, and I think the Raiders came back and won it. Okay?
All right.
Well, all of that took place, guess when?
They showed on a Heidi movie.
Right. Because at 7 o'clock, it was the policy of NBC in those days, and they changed it. But at 7 o'clock, if the game runs into regular programming, then, you know, the game ends and we go to regular programming. So what they did was they said, well, thanks a lot from NBC Sports. The game's still being played, but we've got to watch Heidi now. So they went to the Heidi game. Well, that was the worst decision they could possibly have made because they got phone calls. They got the switchboard blew out in New York. I mean, people were going nuts because suddenly what the hell happened to the football game? You know.
Yeah, the other thing, too, was like, wasn't that New York Jets is in on New York, right?
That's the biggest problem because the Jets were a hometown team for the city of New York, and New York is East Coast, and so the game is suddenly off the air at 7 o'clock. You know. So that was a disaster for NBC. They showed their little Heidi movie, which, up to that point, they thought, well, football is fine, but we have the children. You know, they're just going to have to, you know. They didn't quite get the grip that pro football had on America, and they got it after that. They no longer cut away from any game before it should be cut away from, and that was the end of that. And that certainly, you know, people say that football came into its own as a national sport on television with the 58 Colts and Giants, but really, football came into its own with the birth of the Super Bowl, in my opinion. That's when people said, I got to watch it, and I don't care who, what, when, or why, and I don't care who dies, I don't care who strangles, I want my football. You know.
Well, did anybody strangle that, or are you just kidding? Yeah, he's kidding.
Did anybody strangle? For all I know, yeah, there's guys that are killing each other over the Super Bowl, you bet. So football ever since then has been a big, big draw, and everything else can go ahead and pound sand. And I'll tell you something else. Go ahead and look at the highest-rated television shows in history. Well, the top of the top 20, you know, I think 10 of them are football games, or Super Bowls. I think the highest rated TV show in the history of the planet Earth is a football game.
Which one?
I don't know. Some Super Bowl. I think the second highest rated TV show in the history of the planet Earth is also a football game. I don't think you see a regular TV show until like third or fourth. And it's like a show. It's like MASH, man. It's like a 30-year-old show. So in any event, the 20 most watched TV programs in 2009. Here were the 20 most watched TV shows in 2009. Well, the 20 most watched TV shows in 2009, and of the 20 highest rated telecasts of any kind so far this television season, so that would be 2010, okay, 18 have been NFL games on NBC, on CBS, NBC, or Fox. Of the 20 highest rated shows of any kind so far this television season, of the 20 most TV programs in 2009, NCIS, number two, Sunday Night Football. Number three, Dancing with the Stars. That was last year. But they're telling me about last year as opposed to last football season. See, once again, we don't have the right stats here, man.
Well, what do you want, man? I got you. I got the top.
What I want is football season. Do you understand? This season. That's what it says. So you're talking about the 20 highest-rated telecasts of any kind so far this television season. 18 have been NFL games on CBS, NBC, or Fox. What does that mean? Fall season.
Oh.
This is a list of the shows for the whole year. We'll get it. We'll figure it out. All right, so in any event, but that was a list of the shows for the year 2009. So the fact is, I think the bottom line is football. Football rules the roost. People like watching football, and they'll always like watching football. Not even baseball, nothing else compares. Football. And I don't think it says anything about the TV shows that are on. I think the TV shows are probably fine, you know. They're exciting, they're fun. But you know what? The thing about football is it happens to be it's a live-action, real-life thing. That's the ultimate reality programming.
I was going to say, man, if you talk about reality programming, that's it.
That's it. That's reality programming. And as much as television has tried to rip the guts out of football with TV timeouts, by arranging what time of the day the game should be played, by arranging, you know, they consult with the NF, they consult with the TV networks before they set the schedule up. They want to make sure that the three networks, CBS, Fox, and whoever the hell's NBC, whoever is carrying football, they want to make sure that ABC, they want to make sure, or ESPN, they want to make sure that all of them are happy with the games that they're getting. Because you don't want to give one network the advantage over another one, right? So it's intimately tied in with the television experience, and yet even still, it's a much more exciting and much more compelling and much more unpredictable thing than regular TV. All right, let's take a break. Our number 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Well, in Chicago, they had a red light camera revenue suddenly take a blink, man. Fewer tickets, less money. Have you ever been photographed by one of those?
Uh-uh.
You know, if you've never driven through an intersection and seen the light?
Oh, yeah, I've seen that light go off.
It's happened a couple times to me. I don't think I've ever gotten a ticket in the mail, but in Chicago, the former Bellwood administrator, Roy McCampbell, now this is in the city of Chicago, he once compared red light cameras to a casino, guaranteed money. But as the cameras reduced the number of drivers who rolled through red lights, so people are not going through the red lights as much anymore because they know they're going to get a ticket, the number of $100 fines is also dropping. In Bellwood, don't you think guys would figure that one out?
Yeah, man. I mean, if you're going to take pictures of people who are going through a red light and give them a fine, they're going to stop.
Exactly. Why wouldn't you figure that one out, though? Why wouldn't you say, well, you recognize that we're going to stop people from going through red lights? Yeah. Well, then they won't be getting tickets, and we won't have as much money, will we? I don't get it. Well, you don't get it. It's almost like, you know, we don't want anybody to smoke. Well, all right, so we have all these taxes on cigarettes, and sooner or later, guys like, well, Phil Hendry, for instance, I stopped smoking, and there'll be more guys like me. Next thing you know, well, there won't be as many dollars coming from cigarette taxes. I don't know. I don't know. You can't rely that heavily on these, what do they call, sin taxes, because what if people stop sinning? Not that anybody's going to be stopping anytime soon. Anyway, in Bellwood, Illinois, which is which in late 2006 became the first suburb to install the cameras, photograph violations brought in $1.1 million at their peak in 2008. What does that mean, the first suburb in Illinois? Because they've had them in California for years.
Yeah, I think that was Illinois.
You mean Chicago?
Yeah, well, yeah, but I mean, what do you mean we've had them for years? I remember.
That's because you ain't been driving that long, man. We've had red light cameras since the 80s. I swear to God, maybe I'm just paranoid. But anyway, in Bellwood, which in late 2006 became the first suburb to install cameras, photograph violations brought in $1.1 million at their peak in 2008 instead of the projected $1.5 to $2 million. Revenues dropped almost by half last year, and officials say net revenues this year are near $250,000, so they're losing money. The chief of staff, Peter Solis, says, I don't think it ever got close. If you were anticipating $1.5 million and you get $250,000, yeah, there's disappointment. You guys are expecting people to just be people. I understand, but, you know, not everybody likes to pay a $100 fine, so some guy is going to probably be a little bit more careful rolling through those red lights. Now, that village's experience is being played out in other suburbs. This is in Illinois that once promoted them as a safety device that could also generate millions of dollars. The good news is that red light violations are down in many places, making streets safer. Exactly. Exactly. But if you guys are relying on revenue from these red light cameras, you know, people are going to stop going through red lights. I don't want to pay a fine. I think I'm going to stop going through a red light.
What about that time you went through that one thing, though? You broke the law.
What?
Yeah, you said you went through that and you heard a bell.
What are you talking about, man?
Down on that road.
You talking about the toll road down there in Santa? What is that? The toll road? Yeah. On the way to the Santa Margarita, whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, they're bypassing the Y.
I don't know what they call. Yeah, the Laguna Toll Road. Yeah, what about it?
You said you went through it.
Let me explain something to you idiots, okay?
Yeah, man, you broke the law, man.
Let me wait a second. Yeah, I broke the law.
You said you did.
Now, hold on for a minute, man. Now, I'm going to tell you a little story here, okay? I pull up to that freaking toll booth, and there ain't nobody there. I'm supposed to throw money in that little change bucket. There ain't nobody there, okay? And this is on a Sunday afternoon in Southern California on that toll road. You guys that are in California, if any of you can hear me, I'm just kidding. Those of you in L.A., if any of you can hear me, I'm kidding around. So I'm going through that toll road, and I see that the bucket is there, but there's nobody in the toll booth.
Yeah, so you went ahead and you broke the law and everything.
No, I didn't, man. No, I did not. They had a money thing, you know, where you slide the dollar bill?
Yeah.
Well, as anybody knows, and everybody knows, those things that you slide the dollar bill to get something out of or to pay, those things work about 30% of the time, if that. They do not work 100% of the time as they're supposed to work. So if, for instance, you clowns that run the turnpike down there, or whatever the hell you want to call it, the toll road, out here in California we call them toll roads. I know you guys call them turnpikes back east. And you got one of them little dollar bill sliding things? Okay, you got to make sure it works. So it didn't work, and so I didn't have change for the basket, so I drove through the red light.
Then what happened?
So a big bell goes, and I just kept on driving, that's all.
Man, did they take a picture?
I forget, man. I forget that if I even got a ticket. I think I might have got a ticket. Yeah, I think I actually got mailed a ticket. You know, so yeah, they took my picture.
Well, where did they take it from or anything?
It was a picture of the back of my car. It was a picture of my license. Somehow they got a picture of my license. So they found out where I lived. They mailed me a citation, and I paid it. And I probably shouldn't have. I probably should have taken it to court or something, you know?
Wow. You can't do that. I mean, you're supposed to pay the toll and everything.
Well, I mean, I'm what I'm saying is, how am I supposed to pay a toll, man? I'm doing what they say here. Here's how you pay it, either with a dollar bill or with change. So I pull out of my wallet the paper money that I have and their piece of garbage machine, which, as I said, Everybody knows they only work about 30% of the time. Doesn't take my dollar bill. I'm supposed to have change too? Or okay, I guess I should have had change. I guess that's where I screwed up. I got a great idea. Why don't you have somebody there in the booth, man? There's a great idea. Have someone there going, hi, how are you? I'll take your money.
Maybe the guy was on his lunch break and everything. A lot of time I do that. Or like when that time in The Godfather, maybe the guy got shot. Well, I'm not saying he got shot, but that time in The Godfather did.
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah? You listen to this idiot.
What?
He says the guy got machine gun like The Godfather.
Well,
what's wrong with that?
Listen, there was no dead body there, and there was no busted glass either. So that was the end of that romance, you know, and I sped on through. That guy got machine gunned. The point being that there was nobody in the booth for me to say, hi, how you doing? Drop dead or anything else? You want my money? I just sped on down the road. If I use that thing more often, I get the damn fast pass, but I don't use it.
Man, I don't understand those roads and how they work. I've never seen one like that before in my life. And then all of a sudden they put one there, and you say it's real good. I stay off it.
Well, yeah, I mean, look at it. It's a toll road, man. They have them back east. Out here in California, we don't have them. I mean, we didn't have them, but we do now because we're finally getting our, you know, our brains together. And we're going, wow, this is one way we can pay for things. It's a toll road, and if you pull off early, you got a basket. You're supposed to throw your coins into it. I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. You've never been on it?
Uh-oh.
It's a great way to travel because for me, if I'm going down to San Diego, I'm going through Los Angeles, I want to, you know, get, I would just bypass L.A. heading down to San Diego. You go down to the west side, and then you pick up that toll road, and you're passing that Y and all that stuff. Because the traffic in L.A., as most people listening can well imagine, on certain days is, forget it. You know, you won't get anywhere. And especially down there on that south part of that 5, man, as it meets the 405, it ain't going to happen. And going down the 405, everyone hates the guts out of that freeway. So the sooner you can get off it, the better. And that toll road does it. Because when you get on that, there are no cars.
There are no cars at all.
No. You can just, like, haul ass, man. You're sailing a million miles an hour. It's the most beautiful thing in the world. All right, our website, philhenryshow.com, we mentioned that to you. We've tried to get out as many of those CDs as we possibly can because we do have people that are ordering them up for Christmas. And I will just tell you this much. We're fulfilling the orders every day, as I'm told. We are sending them out first class. Whether or not they're going to get there guaranteed, we can't guarantee a delivery by Christmas, but we are getting them out each and every day. And, you know, the other thing that people are doing, it's just going ahead and they're buying them anyway as late Christmas gifts or what have you, birthday presents. Now, coming up on Thursday night, if you have a backstage pass, I would really suggest that you download this. We're going to have our reprise of our Christmas Carol. Do you remember that, Bud?
Yeah, I played Scrooge. I forget what Robert did.
You did play Scrooge?
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to reprise the Christmas Carol. Robert, Bud, what'd you do? Robert, what did you do?
I don't know. I thought I was like, like the man that sold a chicken or something like that.
What chicken?
The man that sold a chicken. Scrooge said, give me the biggest chicken you got.
You mean the biggest goose?
Yeah.
You were the guy that was the shop owner?
I think so.
All right. Well, we're going to reprise it from last year. So we had Robert was in it. I was in it. I know I played Bob Cratchit. You were Scrooge. We had Harvey Wireman was in it. We had Margaret and Bobby Dooley and a whole bunch of a cast of characters from Phil Henry's Christmas Carol from last year. Now, the thing we're thinking of doing is we will reprise the audio on radio. But obviously, we had a video cast going last year. And I think what I'm going to do is we will have the reprise on radio, the audio, and on the website, we will replay the video cast of it.
Yeah, but how are you going to do that?
What do you mean, how am I going to do that?
You just play the audio on the radio and do the video cast? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Why? What are you thinking?
I just don't know how you're going to coordinate it.
No, forget it, man. It's just, what difference does it make? You know, there'll be a video cast on Thursday night. It'll be me. And then at the end of the show, for the final hour, it'll be the video cast of last year's Christmas Carol. And on the radio, it'll be the audio cast. Okay. Phil Henry's show is produced by Jason Rantz, our technical director, Charles Wagon, and our associate producer, Dan Northcraft, philhenryshow.com.
Phil Hendry.